And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, we mostly spend our time talking about electoral politics. But as we often say, even in those discussions, politics is more than electoral politics. One of the things I wanted to discuss with you today is the domestic political ramifications of the climate report issued by the United Nations this last week. That report said that the world, everybody in the world, has 10 years to stop using fossil fuels and reduce the amount of carbon dioxide and other gases in the air, or else there would be an irreversible rise in temperature that humanity might be able to cope with, but not easily, not cheaply, and not without turmoil that would, well, let's say, severely affect civilization. 139 countries signed on to this report. This is not a report written by some wild-eyed ideologue sitting by himself sucking his thumb. This is the result of thousands of scientists working for decades, right?
Well, that's not how the opponents of this are going to frame it.
That's interesting. They may frame it one however they frame it. And to me, that is part of the political response. But I want to raise it in terms of, I want to ask you two questions about it. First of all, I didn't see that it made a big impact in the United States. I don't see that there were a lot of follow-up stories, quotes, meetings. Nobody in Congress said anything. Nobody in any state said anything. The state of Florida is threatened immediately. So is parts of Texas. So is Louisiana. So is California. The city of New York could a third of it disappear pretty quickly, if all of that is true. They talk about food production being severely impacted. There would not be enough. There would not be any way to feed the people who are alive. And on and on and on. In other words, not just disasters, not just floods, not just fires, not just insect spread diseases that haven't been spread now because the insects don't live in the air all over. Now they would be able to live in many places where they don't live. You'd have dengue fever everywhere, as an example. Wouldn't this determine the nature of politics? If you had, now you have 100 million people on the move. What if you had 500 million people on the move because of this? What if you don't have, I don't know, a few thousand people coming on the southern border, but you have 100,000 people a day coming to the southern border or to the northern border or into Europe? What happens if Bangladesh gets flooded? We're not just talking about a couple of islands in the Pacific. We're talking about huge populations. What happens if there's no food? Doesn't this now, these Republicans and other know-nothings say this is all propaganda. Okay, now let's speed ahead 10 years. And it turns out not to have been propaganda. And these results occur. What does that mean for politics in America? That's my question.
Well, you have to understand that politics are funded by big money people. And a lot of that big money comes from people who are invested in things that go against this report. The Koch brothers are in the fossil fuel industry. They don't want to give up anything. Well, one of them is gone now, but and the other one is turning things over to his son, but we haven't seen any change in policy. And as a matter of fact, you know, I've referred to some books in previous shows that we've done. We talk about Democracy in Chains, where the Koch brothers have funded this group down at George Mason University. I've talked about Ann Nelson's book, where again you get these billionaires funding this coordinated effort. And Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator, has a book out where he talks about capturing the Supreme Court and the fossil fuel money behind it. So as long as the money spigot is there, I'm not optimistic that you're going to change a lot. They'll always have excuses and diversions of things. They talk about, I saw this week they were blaming whales washing up on the shore on windmills in the ocean, okay, saying, well, the noises those things make. The rebuttal to that, of course, came saying, well, offshore drilling makes more noise, but no one is amplifying the message about offshore drilling making more noise. They're only only amplifying the things that are bad about wind power or solar power. So, if we go 10 years down the road and all the people who back the scientists are going to be able to say, as I told you so, that's not a very winning strategy. There has to be ways to penetrate into people's minds. Now, where are you going to do that? Down in Louisiana, these people have lived for years in cancer clusters. Most likely, but not with certainty, but most likely generated by the petrochemical industry. You're not going to change things in West Virginia very easily, where people rely on coal as a means of income, while the rest of the state languishes in poverty. So I think
even the people who are digging the coal languish in poverty. I never saw any rich miners. I've been all through the mine country. There's never any miners that make a living.
Just the mine owners.
Yeah, the mine owners. Mansions people make a living, but the people who actually do the mining, they don't make a living, much less get rich. I remember many years ago, there used to be hospitals in the coal country. All of a sudden, they all closed because the mine owners refused to pay into the welfare fund, which they had negotiated with the UMW. So the welfare fund had no way to maintain the hospital, so the hospital closed. In Hazard, Kentucky, there was a wildcat strike that made national headlines. It went on for months, and they bombed tipples, and they shut down mines. All they wanted was for the hospital to be reopened. They had already signed a contract that it should be reopened. It had been opened. It was closed because the mine owners refused to continue to pay in, as they were obligated to do. So you can't convince people who work in the mines you can't convince a guy in the mine that his children should go into the mine, right?
You shouldn't be able to. It's not the guy. It's the wife of the guy.
Yep.
That's who you got to convince.
Yep.
All right? And you got to have a better approach than what you've had. You tell them, look, your husband, works hard. He works honorably and honestly. But do you worry every day when he goes in that mine whether he's going to come out? If you could get a job, if your sons and daughters could get a job making solar panels, making nearly as much, which would you rather them do? And they're going to hesitate. Because they're going to look at rejecting the mining industry as being, being a turncoat to their communities. But it's only going to going to take someone, sort of like the Sally Fields character in that one movie. She's working in the mill. Somebody from the inside to start the movement and. You just don't know where that's going to come from. Eventually, we were talking before the show. You can't fool Mother Nature. It's going to happen. It's happening now. It's going to happen. You talk about domestic thing. People don't realize the Syrian civil war was started because of drought and farmers on being unable to earn a living and moving into the cities and protesting into things. These things have consequences. Russia's in Ukraine. Ukraine is the breadbasket of half the world. What happens if, not only if Russia controls it, but what happens if climate affects what they can do? Now, maybe the Russians will figure, hey, it'll be better for us. It'll warm up Russia. We won't need Ukrainian wheat or something. But that's an awful big chance to take.
Look, getting back to these miners. You know how many miners there are in America, coal miners? The total number of coal miners?
Not a lot.
38,400. That's it. 38,400 workers. Their average salary is $52,000. So in other words, what is that? 38,400.
You're doing the math.
Yeah, I'm doing the math.
You know,
so that's $1,900,000,000.
That's all they take in.
That's it. The government, the federal government, could appropriate $2 billion, and say to these guys, "You're retired at full pay. You get another job, fantastic. You don't get another job, you still got your pay. You don't need to do this anymore." You tell me that they're going to vote for Manchin then, if Manchin says no, we got to keep mining. It seems to me that the rest of the country, and I'm talking now about leftists and the Democrats should have a plank that says, buy out the coal miners, not the coal mine owners, the coal miners, so that none of them go to work.
You know, it's interesting you started with the numbers there. I was taking a walk the other day around the courthouse square in Scranton, and on the back of the square, there's a large monument to John Mitchell.
Yeah.
And there's also a plaque, one of these historic plaques, and it refers to the coal mine strike of 1902, which the commission met in the Lackawanna County Courthouse. But on the plaque, it listed how many miners went out on strike, and it was well over 100,000. I don't know if it was 130 or 150,000 miners were on strike for 6 months. Fighting for better conditions. Now you're talking about having, and that was just in the anthracite field.
That was just around here. Yeah, that was just the coal mines around here.
120 years ago, that's how many people were in the mines.
There were 800,000 miners at that time.
Yeah.
100,000 around here.
Yeah. Where it's shrunk to.
Because you don't need it. This is an industry that's not needed, number one. And number two, you don't want it. It's an industry that's killing you. So the way to undercut the MAGOTs, the corporate GOTs, is to say to the workers, you're covered. You're covered. That's all. Don't go to work.
Well, here's what's going to happen. The mining people, the fossil fuel people, will offer pay to anybody who goes in to take the place of these guys.
Nobody will take the place of these guys if they can get a year's salary without going in.
Well, but, then how many people are going to do that?
However many. What's the difference? You're looking about the ending of civilization.
Well,
it's not like you have a choice that says if you don't do this, everything will be good anyway. The point here is, if this is right, the choice is between living on Easter Island before the evacuation or having Easter Island with a bunch of stone statues and no human beings. Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's no choice for me.
That's no choice for you.
No. Nor for you, nor for anybody reasonable. Why? That's suicide.
No. And actually, that's something that in 10 years, we may not be here, and it's going to be our children and grandchildren.
It seems to me that $2 billion a year is a very cheap price to pay for getting rid of the horrors of coal. And then you could take the same approach to the oil and gas industry. You could just don't make it possible for the people who own these industries to hire anybody. Then they'll find something else to invest in. After all, they want to make money. If capitalism still exists, they want to make money. They'll go to invest their money where there is a workforce, where they can exploit workers, not to a place where they can't. Otherwise, I don't see how capitalism survives. If humanity doesn't survive, capitalism doesn't survive.
Yeah.
There are no capitalist polar bears that I know about. So
I still think you're going to run, you know, the opposition is going to be great.
Be great, but it's especially great if the Democrats don't pick up something like this, then there's no opposition because there's nobody proposing it.
It's the political law of inertia. Things at rest tend to stay at rest. It takes a lot more to start a movement than to keep it going once it starts.
Well, I understand that. But look, Biden just did a terrible thing with Alaska. He allowed them to start production where he should never have allowed them to start production.
Where he said he wasn't going to allow it.
And he wasn't going to allow it. And then he does allow it. What? That's completely contrary to everything the world needs, that the Americans need. Completely contrary. And as long as you're doing that, you can't say you're against fossil fuels. You can't say you're fighting climate change. You can't fight climate change and advance it at the same time. And it's not climate change. It's the climate crisis.
Well, there you go with wording again.
Well, that's exactly right.
Messaging. Remember Frank Luntz's great line. It's probably his second best meme after changing the inheritance tax to the death tax. He says, it's not drilling for oil, it's exploring for energy.
Beautiful. Right, exactly. And I notice every one of these war criminals and enemies of the people, because that's what they are, they're always talking about good-paying American jobs. That's like getting a high salary for digging your own grave. What's the percentage?
It's the here and now. You know, I often talk about the bad guys in the world. I know you want to talk about domestic, but the fact of the matter is, look at all the bad guys in the bad countries. You got Putin in Russia. You've got the Iranians. You've got Venezuela. You've got the Saudis. And how do they all finance themselves? With fossil fuels.
That's exactly right. With fossil fuels. Yeah.
Oil or gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Russia's, you know, a gas station with nuclear weapons.
Yeah, because if you build a wind farm or you build a solar farm, you don't have to pay anymore. You've built it. The sun does the rest, or the wind does the rest. The moon does the rest. That's it.
Well, I hope you've noticed that there's a lot of NIMBY going around when people want to build solar farms.
Yes, there is a lot of NIMBY going around, but nobody is saying to these NIMBY people, you want to die? You want to die? That's your choice. You want to have something or you want nothing?
Well, wasn't there one that was killed up in Susquehanna County, one of these proposals on land?
I think it was in Bradford County.
Okay, close enough. I know Lackawanna County, there's a...
But what you're talking about a county, whether Susquehanna or Bradford, that has no opposition to the Republicans. None. No organized opposition to the Republicans. So they get away with whatever they get away with. And these are not Abraham Lincoln Republicans. So, you know, you have Susquehanna County is completely controlled by the oil and gas industry.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's going to be a fight in Taylor. Where they want to put on, you know, you don't understand the opposition because, like you said, once it goes up, it's there. It's not something, you're not running trucks. You're not running.
You're not depleting the water.
Yeah, you're not polluting the water. It's just there.
Yep. It's just there. And if
quiet.
And if you don't.
At night, it's quiet.
Yeah. And if you don't do it, you won't be just there. You might, you know, you might live through it, but your successors won't. And supposing they did live through it, and supposing it happened, and now the floods really do come, the fires really do come, it becomes impossible to grow wheat where you used to grow wheat, or corn where you used to grow corn, or tomatoes where you used to grow tomatoes, so there's no food. But yet there's 9 billion people. There's no food. There's no drinking water. There's high floods. There's lands being flooded. Bangladesh, a third of it disappears. All the islands in the Pacific disappear. Florida, half of it disappears. People go somewhere. What do you think politics would be like in 2040 if it's really true that by 2035 there's a major, major qualitative change in the climate of the world, and these things happen?
I'm telling you, they're going to find a way to blame the libs.
They'll blame the libs. They'll blame the Jews. They'll blame everybody. What's the difference? They're not. What's going to happen? You're going to have people. You're going to have warfare in the streets. How can you not? How can you not?
Well, then everybody better get their guns.
No. What will happen is there'll be revolution because laissez-faireism can't work in this situation. It's impossible. You can't have laissez-faire. You got to have strong, pro-human policies by a strong government. And people will put up with everything until you get to that stage, and then they'll say, the hell with this. We're not putting up with this anymore. Then they'll be in the worst possible conditions, in the most difficult possible conditions, and in the most bloody conditions, some way that humanity will save itself by enforcing cooperation and not allowing laissez-faire, do-your-own-thing-ism. That's all right when you have 100,000 humans living on the world. Maybe it's all right. With 9 billion people and floods and fires and mosquitoes, humans won't survive. And therefore, humans won't put up with it. That's what I see. I mean, the business of Trump and Jordan and all this thing, they can strut on the stage all they want right now. They're not that important. I mean, I like talking about Trump. I like talking about all that stuff. I like pointing out how horrible these people are. But the real horror that they maintain, that they pose, is that they tell people this doesn't matter. This climate crisis doesn't matter. And it does matter.
That, and they also distract people.
Yep, that's right. But on the other hand, if the Democrats, the opposition in our country, doesn't stand up for saving the climate, they're complicit. They're complicit. If Biden says, I'm for saving the climate, but yeah, we should open up 18th, whatever it was, how many acres it was in Alaska, for a new field to do exactly what we say shouldn't be done anywhere, he's complicit. He shouldn't be the president. It's hard to do that? All right, it's hard to do that. It'll be a lot harder 10 years from now to stave off the millions who are going to try to come here or wherever there's a mountain. That's what I think. These parties won't last because they're not prepared for it. And then they'll have no way to cope with it, and they'll disintegrate.
Tune into our show on in March of 2040.
Only if we raise a wind turbine to give us power so that we can be on the internet, and only assuming that there's a phone system available in the world, because that's what the internet requires. It's tough, but I don't see it. I mean, the right wingers can laugh at young people like Greta Thunberg, but what if she's right? All the scientists say she's right. And she's not making it up. She's just reporting what the scientists say. I won't be here. She will. She's only 19 right now. She's got, who knows, 70 years ahead of her.
You know, they say elections have consequences. This is what happened when Al Gore lost Florida by those few votes.
Yeah, one vote.
Yeah, on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, one vote. And that, so you have to ask yourself, what about this vaunted American democracy? What about it if it doesn't produce policies that help the majority of the people? Doesn't democracy have to have a content as well as a form? If the majority should rule and the form should allow that, then shouldn't the form dictate that the interests of the majority win?
Well, that's the thing now, because we know that the MAGA group are against democracy.
That's right. And their right to be against democracy. Because every one of them stands...
for the wrong reasons.
Well, but no. For the right reason. Because democracy means their policy cannot triumph. their interests cannot rule. They know that, so they don't want democracy. But the proponents of democracy don't seem to produce policies that are in the interests of the overwhelming majority of the people. That's the tragedy. We need a leadership that can do that, that will do that, that does do that, that people can point to and say, those are the people I support, and for these reasons. But we don't have it.
No. The Maslowian hierarchy in people's minds does not flow to climate.
That's right. But it should.
Yeah.
It should.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think people like ourselves and people who have access to a microphone or newspapers or whatever have an obligation to talk about this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if nobody talks about it, it'll come as a great big surprise.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, my son's been trying to do stuff on that, we'll see. We'll see, but he's only one person also.
Exactly. Individuals, however well-intentioned, however hard they work, and however effective they may be, don't replace organized movements, organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We live collectively. An organization can do 10 people in an organization can do more than 10 individuals. Can probably do more than 20 individuals.
Yeah, there's a synergy there.
Exactly. Exactly.
A synergy for energy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I know that Trump dominated the headlines, preventing people from being concerned with the climate crisis and other things that they really should be concerned about. And for all I know, the headlines will continue to be like that, and they shouldn't be. They should ignore this guy. They should ignore his machinations. He wants to be on Truth Social. Let the people who listen to Truth Social pay attention. There's no reason to report it anywhere else. Everywhere else, we should report what the UN reported. We should report what people are doing to make things worse, to intensify the climate crisis, and how that can be combated. That's what I think the news should be about.
Yeah. Well, but of course, what they say, the Bannonism, you know, we got to break down institutions like the UN, the New World Order. They're your enemy. The neo-Marxists, all of these things. And again, it's financed by the fossil fuel industry.
That's right. And these people are, these are people committing crimes against humanity. That's exactly what it is. They're misleading humanity. They're committing crimes against humanity. They're making it possible for there to be a world of cockroaches, because they seem to survive. They were here with the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs gave up and left. They're here with us. And if we give up and leave, they'll still be here.
They'll still be here.
That's a hell of a future. That's a hell of a legacy, huh?
Yeah, time for us to leave. You know, this coming week will be April Fool's Day. We'll see who the fools are, who the people who are fooled are.
All right.
Who the foolers and who the fooled are.
Who the fooled are. Well, right now the American people are being fooled. And it's time that they shouldn't be. It's time for voices that are effective voices, political leaders who are effective political leaders, mm-hmm. and who call out the Jim Jordans, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, mansions and cinemas, and show them for the enemies of the humanity that they are. They are the enemies of humanity. All right, that's it for this week.
Oh, such an uplifting show, Jake. Such an uplifting show.
Listen, life is what it is. It could be uplifting. It can. We don't have to succumb to this. All we have to do is organize against it. We shouldn't wring our hands and cry and moan. We should organize. That's what Joe Hill said, right? Don't cry, organize. He was right.
That's it. We've been saying that for a long time on the show.
That's right. And we've been doing it in our own little ways. You in Lackawanna County, me in Susquehanna County, trying it, doing our best.
That's it. Yep.
All right. Good luck for next week, whatever you're going to do, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.